This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. 3050s WST Level 3 Written Exam Tips and Tricks. As a leading APP or approved program provider for the WST Level 3 and a APP with one of the highest pass rates around in 2020, we had an 82% pass rate in the WST Level 3. This is an insanely high pass rate. And part of that is because we believe our students are very well prepared for the exam. Now, most students think that the tasting exam is going to be the hardest. It is not the tasting exam that's the hardest. It's actually the theory exam. So we're going to look predominantly at sort of techniques, what you need to learn, and the priorities for learning so you can do really well in the theory exam. Initially, we're going to give you an overview of the exams. Then I'm going to give you a list of priorities that you should study and make sure you really know it before the exam. And then we're going to look at some of the different types of questions that you can get in the exam and how to approach those questions, and then finish up with a recommended study process. Now, this talk is predominantly what I give to my students when we've just finished the course. That said, my students are sort of getting introduced to these concepts all the way through the course. So in theory, you should listen to this at the end of your course, but I think if you actually listen to it earlier on in the course, this presentation, this podcast, it will help you a lot because it means that by the time you come to that last week, you're set up ready for that last big push, getting ready for the exam, like my students are. So that's what I would suggest you do, is you actually listen to this earlier, maybe day one, day two, or even before the course starts. So let's just recap what the exam is. So in the WST Level 3 wine exam, there's two exams and three components. So the first exam is the tasting exam, and that's a 30-minute exam where you're going to taste two wines. That's usually done first. Usually you'll do your tasting exam, and then that'll finish, and then you'll do your theory exam afterwards with a little break in between. I have a series of podcasts on how to sit the tasting exam, so we're not going to cover that in any detail. The other exam is the theory exam, and this is a two-hour exam, and it actually consists of two different papers. There's a 50 multi-choice paper. You've got an options of 1 to 4, and you can just choose which one it is. And then there's a short written answer questions. There's 4 short written answer questions, which make up the sort of written component of the exam. Now, you need to achieve a 55% pass in everything. That's a 55% pass in the tasting exam, a 55% pass in the multi-choice exam, and a 55% pass in the written exam to pass overall. Most students can get a reasonably good pass rate in the multi-choice. Multi-choice is reasonably easy. The thing that really, really mucks people up is the written exam. And there's a number of reasons for that, and we'll talk about those reasons as we go through. To get your overall mark in the exam, they look at your aggregate score. So they'll add up all your marks, and then they'll divide them by the total marks to get you your average score, assuming you've sort of passed by 55%. To get a distinction in the exam, you need to get over 80% average mark, if you like, aggregate mark, for the three papers, and no paper is allowed to get below 65%. So at least 65% in any paper, and an aggregate total of 80% overall for the three exams. For a merit, you need between 65 and 79% aggregate over the three papers. For a pass, it's between 55 and 64% over the three papers. And for a fail, it's between 45 and 54%. And they have another thing called unclassified fail, which is basically a disaster where you've got less than 45% over the three exams. At the time we're recording, and we're still waiting for the results of one more exam because this is being recorded during the coronavirus lockdown, they're a little bit behind. But in terms of where 3050 did in 2020, except for this last exam we're waiting for, 27% of our students got a distinction, 56% got a merit, no one got a pass, They either, if you passed, you got a merit or distinction, and 18% got a fail. All right. That means we had an 82% pass rate, which is huge. I mean, the average is normally about 60%. For the theory, we had an 84% pass rate for the theory and a 93% pass rate for the tasting exam. These are incredibly high marks. And it just goes to show, if students are well prepared, they've got the tools to study, they can do very, very well. What those results tell you is that if you follow our processes, it's not that you're going to get a pass. If you do the work, you're going to get a merit or a distinction. If you don't do the work, you're going to fail. And it's as simple as that. Really, with WST Level 3, you cannot wing it. You must study. And the students who don't do the work or don't do enough work, they clearly fail. And for our students who tend to get in there and get it all done, they'll get a merit or a distinction. Just having a quick look at what is in the exam, those four short written questions are the thing that really cause problems for most students. And historically, this is the bit that my students would come out going, oh my gosh, that was really, really hard. Nowadays, they come out and go, oh, that's sort of what I was expecting. And that's brilliant news to me because that means they're well prepared and they're organized and they know what to do. But the exam itself is made up of 50 multi-choice questions. We're not going to talk about those too much because they're the things that most students can deal with by themselves, because it's really about factual recall. And as long as you've got the facts, it's pretty good. And when you don't have the facts, you can often sort of guess it a little bit. You know, even if you just randomly guess the questions, you're going to get 25% in the exam. So the multi-choice isn't really that difficult to pass, but the short written is. And the short written, as I say, is made up of four questions, four short answer questions, and they follow a really strict pattern. Question one is all about viticulture and vinification. In WST, they sort of use things like vineyard factors that influence the style of the wine and human factors that influence the style of the wine. We're going to use the term viticulture and vinification because that's effectively what it is, viti and vini. And question one is always about viti and vini and still wines of the world. So this is, you know, anything to do with any of the still wines in the course book. Question two is about viti and vini and still wines of the world. So these are two very similar questions, one and two. Question three changes because it covers viti and vini, still wines of the world, but there's an element of service in there. So they might be talking about, you know, a wine from the Loire, but how would you serve it? How would you store this wine for aging or things like that? And the final question is on viti and vini, but it's all about sparkling and fortified wines and service. So there's questions reserved for either sparkling and fortified wines, and often they may tie in a little bit of service into that. Now, they don't have to have service in question three and question four. What they've got is they're sort of saying these are where those questions on service are going to be. And in the specification, and Lord, if your APP hasn't been teaching you how to use the specification, you need to learn how to use it because there's so much really useful information in that specification. But if you look at the back of the specification, it actually tells you the allocation of marks. Now, WST uses gobbledygook language that try and confuse people called learning outcomes. And you sort of have to map the learning outcomes to the exam to sort of understand what's going on. But page 27 of the specification has all this information, and there is definite marks for certain characteristics. Some parts of the course are easier to learn than others. In fact, what I've done is I've had a look at the marks allocated to each section of the course, and then I've had a look at how many pages are in the actual textbook. And there is 30 marks given in the exam for 24 pages in the book. All right, 30 marks in the exam for 24 pages in the book. That is an average mark of 1.25 marks per page. It sounds like a crazy number. But then there's another 148 pages for the remaining 70 marks in the exam. In other words, it's 0.47 or half a mark per page that you've got to learn. So if you're pushed for time and you need to focus on something, you want to make sure that you get the easy marks. And the easy marks are 24 pages, 30 marks. You know, if you really hammer those 24 pages, you really know them inside and out. You know, turning up to the exam, you're going to get close to 30 marks. And it's only 24 pages. You can really hammer these pages, completely understand them, get into the exam. You've got your 30 marks pretty much in the bag. And then you're just looking to get another 25 marks over 70 in the exam. So you're making your life much, much easier. So what are these easy marks in the exams? Well, there's some stuff that we don't even teach in class that's worth 10% of the exam. And the reason we don't teach in class is because you're expected to already know it before you start the course. This is material from the WST Level 2 course. This is Level 2 material that we don't teach in class, usually. Well, we don't, and most APPs are recommended not to because you don't have time. So we assume you know it, but it's worth 10% of the marks. And I tell you what, a lot of my students, before I really sort of hammered this into them, they simply didn't revise it. They thought, well, we're not learning it in class. And then they get these questions, and they're easy questions if they've done the revision, because it's so little in the textbook that there's only a certain number of questions WST can ask. So these are the easy stuff. And that is 10 marks for the following topics. Storage and service of wine, basically chapter 3 pages. Factors affecting the price of wine, that's chapter 10. There's only 2 pages on that. And then wine and food, chapter 3 pages. In total, there is 10 marks for 8 pages in the textbook. All right, 1.25 marks per page, if you like. But students often will just skip these because we don't really cover them in class, and you're just losing the easiest marks in the exam. So make sure you hammer storage and service of wine. That's things like serving temperature, how to open a bottle of still wine and fizz wine. That you could see that in the exam. Very common types of question. Why do you decant? How to decant? Glass shapes and preserving wine. Factors affecting the price of the wine and food and wine. So make sure that this is one of the key areas that you know inside out for the exam, because this is easy, easy marks. You're already supposed to know it before you turn up. Revise it and make sure you get those easy marks. The other big one, where there's lots of marks for hardly any pages to learn in the textbook, if you like, and you already know a little bit about it, is sparkling and fortified wines. You would have seen that question 4 is about Viti, Vini, sparkling, fortified, and service. Well, there's always a question on either sparkling wines or fortified wines in the exams. There's 16 pages covering those topics, and they're worth 20% of the marks in the exam. That is 1.25 marks per page. So again, it's in that sweet spot. Very little content in the book, but lots of marks in the exam. So do look at sparkling and fortified wines. Make sure that is one of your priority subjects that you know inside and out really well. And don't forget about fortified Muscat and the ASTI method. A lot of people go, well, fortified Muscat isn't really important in my market. I hardly ever see it. I'm not going to really worry about it too much. It's just as likely to come up as port or sherry or anything else. And the other one is ASTI. Again, ASTI, the ASTI method, not just ASTI Moscato, but at the ASTI method, how ASTI is made. Make sure you know the process. Make sure you know the style, because a lot of people focus on the traditional method, the Prosecco, or the tank method, or the, you know, used in Prosecco, and they sort of forget about ASTI method, and it's just as likely to come up in the exam as anything else. So don't forget about fortified Muscats and ASTI when you're covering all of your sparkling and fortified. Learn that, learn your service components, and you would have covered 24 pages, 30% of the marks in the exam. Really, really super important. If you're pushed for time and you're going, oh my God, I haven't done enough study early on, make sure you nail this, because these are the easy marks in the exam if you know to study for them. The difference between level 2 and level 3 is that in level 2, you've just got to remember facts that were in the textbook and reproduce them. So if they say Cabernet Sauvignon is high acid, thick skins, you just need to know Cabernet Sauvignon is high acid, thick skins. In level 3, what you need to do is be able to pull information one part of the textbook and use it in another part of the textbook without them explicitly stating it. So a very common type of question might be sort of, what is the climate in a region? How does it influence the wine? How does that influence the grapes? Talk about the viticultural practices that this requires. So what you're finding is you're finding linkages between different parts of the textbook. They won't explicitly state something in the textbook, but they'll say, you know, this particular climate has these characteristics which causes this. So in the Viti Vini section, they might say cool continental climates are quite often exposed to spring frosts, and then later on in the textbook they might say, oh, Champagne is a cool continental climate. So you need to know that because it's cool continental climate, you already know from Viti and Vinny section that it's also, its main hazard is probably spring frost. They don't necessarily say it in the Champagne section. They just say that the climate is this, and you need to be able to infer it from other parts of the textbook what is the main risk associated with a cool continental climate. So there's linkages in there. And this is when people in the short answer exam start to become unstuck, because in the multi-choice, they're just going to ask a fact. Give me a piece of information. Which is the correct number here? What is this? That's a fact. But in the written answer, you need to be able to pull out these linkages and sort of explain things like show you're working. Why do you believe this? What is the reason behind that? So chapters 4 to 11 on viticulture and vinification are like fundamental. If you look at the exams, Viti and Vinny has the potential to be in every question. So you must know Viti and Vinny quite well. In terms of revision priority, I would say that you want to focus on the following. And if you're restricted in time, then this is where you want to put the effort in to maximize your chance of passing. You want to do wine and food, chapter 2. You want to do storage and service, chapter 3. And you want to do influences on the price of wine, chapter 10. That's your sort of easy marks. You want to do sparkling wines and fortified, key elements as well. And then, once you've got those super easy marks, the next big check is Viti and Vinny, because it is in every question, or there is a possibility of an element of it in every question. So Viti and Vinny of the book. Now, that is a big chunk of the book. It's about a quarter of the book to cover that. But the last bit that you want to do is still Wines of the World, and that's worth about half the book. So by at least making sure you've got the basics, wine and food, storage and service, influences on price, sparkling, fortified wines, get that, that's your 30 marks done. Then make sure you really know Viti and Vinny. And then, when you've still got time, then really hammer your still wines of the world. You literally cannot skip something. Like, people go, oh, I'm just not going to study something. Well, if you don't study something, you're in trouble. If you're not going to study something, it's still wines of the world that you're going to miss something. You know, if you're running out of time and you haven't got time to re-study everything, well, you can take a risk on still wines of the world, but it's going to come up in the exam. The exam doesn't allow you to choose the question. So, for example, sometimes you'll get an exam where it'll say, you know, answer three of these five topics, and then you choose the three that you can do the best answer for. It's not like that. You must answer the questions in the exam. So it's really hard to skip things. And if you do decide to not study everything, there's a risk that it could come up in the exam and you're going to be found wanting. And if you miss a whole question because you really don't know anything about it, you're in big trouble in terms of passing the exam. So you've got to learn everything, but there's certain things I want you to make sure you absolutely hammer. And then if you've got time, hammer the other stuff.